Okay. Who's having fun? All right. So today, actually, my mom had to remind me of this, so I'm a little upset with myself. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Actually, I didn't even know that. And Genevieve, do you know what Pentecost is? We talk about this sometimes. Pentecost means 50th, but it's basically a remembrance of the day when the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples after Jesus rose again and went up into heaven. Yep, so that's today, Pentecost Sunday. It's also the day before Memorial Day, so we want to say thank you to all of those who have fought and died for our country, of course. We want to take special time out today to pray for them or to pray for their families. And we also just want, you know, take this time to remember that. Today, though, we are going to be doing one more thing related to our kids. So, Genevieve, can you come on up here and help me with something? We do something. Got some kids going downstairs. I just want to make sure they don't go downstairs. Thanks, Amy. So we do our remember verse every Sunday down. Wow, that's a nice dance. We do our remember verse every Sunday down in kids. So Genevieve is up here today, and she's going to help me teach you guys how we do our remember verse every week. Okay? So Mr. Nate's going to put it up on the screen there, and you're going to help me do the motions, okay? Because we do motions with our remember verses because that's how we remember them. Okay? So how we do it is you're going to repeat after me, and you're going to do the motions with us as well. Okay? So, repeat after me. Yes, they usually get that more than the adults do. All right. I am the resurrection. Two hands. I just don't have two hands. And the life. The one who believes in me. Mess that up. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives, you gotta do that. You gotta do it too so that they know. Do it with me so they know what to do. Because I only have one hand. Alright? And whoever lives in me will never die. Alright, we want to do it one more time? All right, one more time. Now that we got it, okay? All right. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And that's John 11:25 through 26a. Thank you, Genevieve. All right. So, I am excited to be here at Taylor Christian this morning. We have so many exciting things going on downstairs in the kids area. We're excited, as you can see, we are excited to share them with you today. I love the kids here at Taylor Christian. I love being their pastor. I love all of them. I see those guys peeking back there. Come on. Let's see if they'll come in. I love being their pastor, even though you guys can take a seat. We're up here today. Yeah, we're having fun today. We're just, you guys can hang out there if you want to, but we're up here today. So I love being their pastor, even if they relentlessly pie me in the face over and over and over again. Which did happen a few weeks ago. I got 12 pies in the face, 13 if you include Stephanie's attack on the back of my head and my inner ears. That was torturous. But Ambrielle, you were the sweetest one of them all. She just came up to me and went nice and soft. So she was the reason I don't have a broken nose. Thank you, Ambrielle. Yeah. So you would think that the kids would have compassion on me and say, no, Michael, you're so amazing. We love you. We would never do that to you. No. They were relentless, except for Abigail. Abigail was very sweet, and she saw what they were doing to me, and she did not want to do that to me. So I appreciate that. Anybody ever been pied in the face before? Casey has. You have? It's actually not that bad. It's kind of like, true, it has. It's kind of like pretty yummy, right? But the problem is it's very messy, and you get more and more smelly exponentially with every minute that you don't shower. So it's pretty gross. I was smelling pretty bad. Anybody ever just been so dirty and so smelly that all you want to do is take a shower? That's how I was feeling, right? And when I got home and I took a shower, I walked out and I felt like a new man. I was so fresh and clean, felt brand new. Today we're going to be talking about Jesus. Surprise. And we are going to be talking about how he was a new type of man. Specifically, how he was a new and improved representation of a man named Jonah in the Bible. He was a new and improved Jonah. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for our day today. Thank you that we have our kids up here with us today, having fun. And we pray, God, that you will just be with us this service, Lord. Let me speak your words and let our ears be open, God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to be in Luke chapter 11 today, verses 29 through 32. So you can go ahead and flip there. While you're flipping there, though, I saw this cool joke online. So there's this place called Great Britain, right? There's like multiple countries in this place called Great Britain. This isn't part of the joke, really, but I'm just setting up some context. What do we call people who live in England? Yeah, they're English people, right? What do we call people who live in Britain? British or Brits, yeah. So what about Scotland? Scottish or Scots, yeah. Anybody know what you call people from Wales? Or people who live in Wales? Walish, Welsh? No, actually, the correct term is Jonahs. Because they live in Wales. Yes. I wish I could take credit for that, but no. Poor delivery, but hey, it's still funny. All right. So hopefully you're there. Luke chapter 11, verse 29 through 32. Actually, they are Welsh. Aaron had it correct. Okay. We're there. Verse 29. When the crowds were increasing, he began to say, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here." So what we're talking about here is that I think the Bible shows Jesus as the new and improved Jonah, which I had mentioned before. Some context here. The Bible does this in a lot of ways regarding many other people as well. Most of the important people in the Old Testament screwed up a lot. They weren't the best types of people, right? They were full of mistakes, and Jesus was going to be the prophet, the priest, and the king that ended that reign and that line of issues. So in this passage, Jesus is talking to some Jewish people, and he's teaching his disciples to pray. Evan's taking a picture of me. And he's also speaking on various topics and asking about asking and receiving from God, and he's also casting out demons in this passage. So there's a lot going on here. In Matthew's account of this story, we see the crowds ask Jesus for a sign to show that he's the Messiah. And Jesus is basically like, "No, you guys have had plenty of signs before. In fact, the one that matters the most, or basically, here's a sign, the sign of Jonah." Not necessarily that it matters the most, but you have signs. And he specifically mentions the sign of Jonah. So what is the sign of Jonah? Well, let's talk about Jonah for a while, and we'll go back to here. Kids, who can tell me what happens to Jonah? Anybody know? Genevieve. He gets swallowed by a whale, right? Anything else that you know? and then he gets spit back out. Ugh. Yeah. So he gets eaten by a giant fish or a whale, yeah, and then he gets spit back out. Ugh. Gross. So most people, if you're familiar with Jonah, most people will bring up the fact that he was eaten by a whale or a big fish. But they forget the rest of that important story and what was actually going on with Jonah. So Jonah was a prophet. Everyone say prophet. Prophet is somebody who speaks for God to people, on behalf of God to people, and then he also speaks to God for the people. So he's kind of like the middleman. People can speak to Jonah to speak to God, and God can speak to Jonah to speak to the people. But he was not a very good one. As you may know, Jonah was called to go to Nineveh, and he was called to go preach to the Ninevites so that they would turn away from their sin and follow God instead. But Jonah decides that he doesn't want to do that. Instead, if Nineveh's way over here, Jonah gets on a boat and he sails for a place called Tarshish, which is way over here. He goes in the complete opposite direction. What that ends up happening is God sends a storm. He gets thrown overboard. God sends a fish to eat him. He's inside the fish for 3 days. He gets spit out on dry land. Then he goes to Nineveh again. That's your Cliff Notes version of the book of Jonah. And he seemed to have learned his lesson because now he decided to go, even if it was reluctantly. He goes. So Nineveh's a very wicked place. It's the capital of this country called Assyria. And there were some bad people doing some bad things in Nineveh. Jonah did not want to go there. He ends up going there, though, and he gives what is probably on record the shortest sermon ever known to man. It's 5 words in Hebrew, and it's something that I challenge Evan to preach a shorter sermon with as much impact. So next week, we're going to have, what, 10-second sermon? Four words, yes. So he preaches a 5 words, in Hebrew it's 5 words, message, and it says this: 40 more days and Nineveh shall be overturned. That's his whole sermon. Who's ready to get saved? Yeah. No mention of what's the problem. No mention of what they need to do to not be overturned. No mention of God, even. And this word overturned can actually mean 2 different things. It can either mean like total destruction, or it can mean like a total change of like turning over. So they end up, if you know the story of Jonah, they end up repenting and they end up turning over what they were. So they do get overturned in a way. But as a result, we see the Ninevites totally repent from their wickedness, even in this 5-word, well, in English it's like 8 words, but they turn to God. We read later in the story of Jonah that he's mad about the whole situation. He's mad about these people repenting and turning to God. He didn't want to go to Nineveh because he knew that God was merciful, and he knew that God would want to forgive the Ninevites, and he knew that the Ninevites could repent. Isn't that crazy? He didn't run away from Nineveh because he was scared of the Ninevites, or he didn't run away from Nineveh because he didn't trust God. He ran away because he didn't want God to save them. Some kind of prophet, right? It's totally backwards of what you would expect in a story of a prophet. We read later in the story of, the story of Jonah, yeah, totally backwards. So now we're going back to our story of Jesus that we're in. The people are asking him for a sign. And he says, well, you have the sign of Jonah. Keep in mind that Jesus has been healing and casting out demons and doing all these kinds of things. He's already been doing signs, and they're asking him for more signs. But he ends up actually calling the Jewish people. He calls them an evil generation. He says they have the sign of Jonah. And he says that even the wicked men of Nineveh will rise up and say that these guys are wicked. He's calling them worse than Nineveh, essentially. So Jesus says this to wake them up. Basically, Jesus, he's calling them worse than Nineveh and saying there's a new Jonah in town, a better Jonah, to get their attention. He doesn't need to provide them a sign. If they were paying attention, they would see the sign right in front of their face. They would be able to see that Jesus is the sign. He's the better Jonah. And man, this makes me think, like, some of the stuff that we ask Jesus for, like, Jesus, how come you don't do this? But really, like, there's stuff right in front of us that we're totally missing. And I feel like there's just a big connection here between what we kind of go through sometimes and what, like, the Ninevites are totally missing, or the Jewish people are totally missing, is that Jesus is that new Jonah. He's the one that we should be looking for. He is the sign. So I want to take a little bit of time right now, and I want to compare the story of Jonah with the story of Jesus. So Jonah was this prophet. He did not want to preach to Nineveh. Jesus, on the other hand, made it his mission to intentionally preach to all types of people, especially the most wicked. Jonah didn't really try that hard to do it. He gave a 5-word sermon, and his heart wasn't really in it. And then he leaves the city, and he goes to watch outside in hopes that the city will be destroyed. Jesus, on the other hand, lives his life trying to serve others and to try to draw them to repentance. The wicked people in Jonah's story are actually seen as the good guys in the story. They weren't looking for a sign, but they got one. And the ones in Jesus' story, they only want more and more signs. They're looking for signs, and they're just missing them. The wicked in Jonah's story were non-Jewish people, so they didn't have the kind of background that the Jewish people had. They wouldn't have known. If Jonah came up and started preaching about God, they probably would not have known what he was talking about. They were non-Jewish or Gentile people. The wicked in Jesus' story were Jewish people, so they should have seen the connections. They were totally missing. Again, in Jonah's story, we have the wicked Ninevites, and they want to seek redemption instead of being destroyed. They sought repentance. The wicked Jews in Jesus' story didn't want repentance. These two stories are totally backwards, totally contrasting. Jonah did not delight in his mission to the Ninevites. He would have rather watched them be destroyed. Jesus, on the other hand, delights in seeing salvation and in healing and in showing mercy to people. And he stands up to those who prevent him from doing so. But perhaps the biggest comparison that makes it just, to me, it seems like a yes, this is totally a connection that we need to make. This is not all coincidence. Is that Jonah was in the belly of a fish for 3 days. He's kind of like in this watery tomb of like certain death for 3 days, and then gets spit out onto dry land to live again. Jesus is in the grave after dying on the cross. He's in the grave for how many days? 3 days, right? And then he rises again. So we have this comparison between Jonah and Jesus, which there's some similarities, but there's just so much that's like backwards. And we just see that Jesus is this new type of Jonah, and it's too much to be considered a coincidence. He's a new and improved Jonah. He's the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich compared to the Burger King chicken sandwich of Jonah, you know? He is the Twizzlers compared to Jonah's black licorice. Am I right? Amen. He is the hot fudge, triple hot fudge, ice cream, banana split with 15 scoops of ice cream compared to Jonah's rice cake. You know? Yeah. So he is totally so much new and improved compared to what Jonah is. And I think Jesus is wanting to show these people that he is the only sign that they need. They don't need all these healings and these miracles and all these things. They just need to see Jesus as the new and improved Jonah. He's here to save them. Just like Jonah came to save the Ninevites, Jesus is coming to do it, but he's actually wanting to do it. And I think this story can be applied to us as well. Because here's the truth, you guys, adults and kids, is that we are wicked people. All of us. The Ninevites were, the Jewish people were that Jesus was talking to, but we are as well. We may not be wicked like the Ninevites were wicked, but we are wicked. Each one of you is sinful and in the same boat that the people were in, that Jesus was talking to and Jonah was talking to. Jesus calls out through the story of Jonah that they repent and focus their eyes on him rather than anything else. He makes this connection so that they will do what the Ninevites did and repent and follow him. He calls them to turn away from their wickedness and their sinfulness and instead follow him. And we know that the Ninevites did this, at least for some time. We are all in need of restoration. We're all in need of Jesus, and he wants us to follow him. He wants to forgive us. He wants to love us. He wants to show us mercy, and he loves to restore us. Isn't that amazing? Jesus loves to restore us. So I'm going to do a quick demonstration here. Can I use this mic stand? Just because I'll need two hands, I think. Okay. So I want this string kind of like to represent our lives. Sometimes we may feel like we're being stretched thin in our lives. So this rope is going to kind of represent our lives, okay? Sometimes we may feel like we're wicked, like we're worthless, like things are just not going right in our lives. Sometimes we may feel like our lives are just falling apart right in front of us. Sometimes we may feel like we're just falling apart right in front of us. So I'm going to cut this rope to represent that. Sometimes we just feel like our lives are falling right in front of us. So we got these two strings right here. But what Jesus does is he comes and he restores us and he can fix us and make us well again. So even though we feel like our lives are falling apart, Jesus can kind of like be the one to restore us and make us feel better, you know, and be kind of the person that he wants us to be. Can I get a kid to come up here and volunteer for something? You've already done enough today. One of you guys want to come up and help me with something? Deer, come on up here, dude. And Brielle, come on. All right, all three of you come. Come on. Everybody come up here. All right. All right. Because remember what we're talking about here is that Jesus is the one. You don't have to come up if you don't want. It's okay. Jesus says, come right, stand right here. Jesus is the one who can restore us. When our lives feel like we're just falling apart, you know, I saw that we had two pieces of string here. And we tie them together. We say, Jesus can restore us and he can make us better again. But what I want you to do is go ahead and take that knot. Take the knot. Grab the knot itself. And just pull on that knot for me. What Jesus can do is he can totally restore us to be new again. There's no quick fix with Jesus. There's no like small knot that he's going to tie in our lives. He's going to totally make us new again. Thank you so much. You can hang on to that. Thank you, guys. Jesus is going to make us totally new again. And he's going to restore us just like he did the wicked Ninevites and just like he wanted to do to the wicked Jewish people as well. Aren't you glad that you serve a God that isn't like Jonah? A God that loves you, a God that wants to preach repentance to you. He doesn't dread loving us. He doesn't wish for our demise like Jonah was doing. We serve a new and a better Jonah who loves to love us and he loves to take care of us. He can make us feel new again. He can make us feel restored again. He can make us feel like we just took a nice, long, warm shower after getting pied in the face a dozen times. Praise the Lord. We're going to make tons of mistakes, just like Jonah did, just like the Ninevites did, and the Jewish people in missing what's right in front of them. But even so, worship team, you guys can come on. Come back up. Even so, Jesus is not going to abandon us. He's going to always love us. And let's take some time this week and let's think about, like, how are we being like these Jewish people asking for signs over and over and over again? What are we missing? Maybe we're missing the fact that Jesus is the sign we've been looking for this whole time. He would gladly preach repentance to us. All that we need to do is follow him, say yes. Yes, I will follow you. Yes, I will turn away from my wickedness. Yes, I will serve you. Yes, I will love you. And he wants us to say yes as well, because he is the new and improved Jonah. He's a better Jonah than the one that we see in the Old Testament. And I'm so thankful for it. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this day today. God, we thank you for your example. We thank you for the story of Jonah as well, so we know what mistakes we need to work on. We thank you for the example of the repentance of the Ninevites, so we know what we should look forward to doing as well. God, just help us to want to follow you. Help us to lean on how you want to restore us and how you want to love us. God, we thank you for all that you've blessed us with, all that you've given us, God. In Jesus' name.